her or the dickhead in front of him. She followed anyway. Chapter 5 J.D. was relieved she didn't spot Victor's body when she climbed down from the RV. Lavos kept a tight hold on Mitch about 6 feet away. His friend stood alone nearby. Carr jerked his head in her direction.
What are you gonna do with her?
Nothing. She's gonna help us save more people.
Lavos shook his prisoner.
Where's the other one you made?
I don't know,
Mitch hissed.
Who did you kill?
A woman with long dark hair,
Lavos stated.
Carr, what did yours look like?
Dark hair, a man, shitty breath, and batshit crazy.
You're looking for a blonde guy, J.D. supplied. Dark shirt and jeans. Lavos turned his head, peering at her. She shrugged. I said I saw them. One of them was a blonde.
Where's the research team?
I'm not sure. She hated to admit that. I barely found my father's RV from the directions he gave. They always set up in two locations, but never too far apart. It will be on or near a road. The trailer they use is towed by a big rig. No way did they take that on uneven or unpacked ground without risking getting it stuck in softer soil or tipping it over. They travel with two other RVs, but they're smaller, not like my dad's. Peggy and Mark would have driven those. They used to have to tow a car hooked to one, along with this one. She paused, thinking. Brent would have driven the big rig that pulls the large trailer. Lavos shook Mitch again.
What direction?
I'm not telling you.
Big mistake, Carr muttered.
You're not a vampire.
Lavos leaned in, yanking Mitch hard enough to drop the other man to his knees.
You're a soldier. Do you know what that means? I'm a vampire. Wrong.
Lavos released him with one hand. J.D. watched as he opened his free hand and his nails grew, shock coursing through her. She managed to smother a gasp and remain still, regardless of the urge to turn tail and rush back inside the RV to lock herself in. Lavos gripped Mitch's shoulder and dug those claws into his skin. Mitch screamed. Lavos jerked his hand back, wiping his bloodied claws on the back of the soldier's shirt. He leaned down a little, but spoke loud enough for her to hear.
Every time you're hurt, your body heals too fast. That's the difference between a vampire and a soldier. Your system is feeding off itself to repair any injuries. It makes you go insane faster. Between the bullet she put in you and what I've done to you so far, you'll be lucky to remember who you are by tomorrow night. Am I clear? I could keep going until you totally lose the ability to think anything at all, and then I'll remove your head. You won't come back from that.
Mitch looked afraid.
None of that is true. Oh, it is, Carr nodded. Have you noticed those tiny veins across your skin and the blood in your eyes? Vampires don't have those. You're like a hyped-up version of them, but you weren't meant to survive as long. Vampires fully heal from injuries, but they do it more slowly.
Lavos explained.
You recover too fast to mend properly, causing a permanent breakdown of your body in the process. Your mind goes first.
Mitch moaned.
Why would he do this to me? Because vampires are assholes.
Lavos jerked Mitch to his feet.
Take us to where this other group is, or I'll have no reason to keep you alive. Don't you want me to go after the bastard who turned you? That means you need to remain sane long enough to tell me everything you know about this asshole, right after you take me to this camp. North,
Mitch raised a hand, pointing toward a hill.
Right on the other side of that, next to the river. It's probably a mile away. Will the blonde one you turned be there? Probably. We've taken out everything else in this area. He's gotta be hungry. Every one,
Lavos corrected.
They were living beings. They were food,
Mitch spat.
What an idiot, Carr muttered. Shut up and walk, Mitch. You don't want to piss off my friend. He likes humans.
He flashed a look at J.D.
Obviously.
J.D. hoped that was true. Her situation had become dire, but it could still get worse. It was possible Lavos had lied to her. She wanted to survive until dawn and make it home at some point. That meant she needed him to keep his word. The guns with ammo still strapped to her didn't make her feel safe.
"Let's go,"
Lavo said. He pushed Mitch forward. JD wished for a flashlight, but her eyes adjusted enough that she felt secure about not walking into a tree. The moon was out enough to show shapes. It also helped that she followed behind Lavo's. His friend stayed at her back, but she refused to glance over her shoulder. It took a bit for her to relax enough to stop expecting him to do something bad, like stab her in the back with his claws. They reached the top of the hill, and she made out a dark shape that looked like a river flowing into a valley. Carr stepped to her side and pointed.
"I see the trailer."
She followed the direction of his finger, squinting a little. It was the black shape of a box a few hundred yards from the water.
"I see it, too."
"Take hold of this one," Lavo's ordered. "I'll help her. The hillside looks steep."
"I can carry her down,"
Carr offered. JD jerked away from him, not willing to let him touch her. Lavo's made an aggravated sound.
"I said take hold of this one, Carr. Now. Keep a firm grip on him. He's stupid and keeps trying to jerk away from me. He obviously hasn't figured out that it would be easy for me to chase him down."
Carr moved away from her toward the other man. He grabbed Mitch by the back of his neck and the stockier shape of Lavo's pulled away, advancing on her. He paused just feet away.
"I don't want you to fall or trip,"
Lavo's spoke softly.
"I'm guessing your vision isn't very good right now. Mine is excellent. There's lots of loose rocks and vegetation to trip over going down this hill. Will you allow me to get you down safely?"
"What do you have in mind?" She was still leery, but taking a header down the hill didn't sound appealing.
"I'll carry you."
It almost made her laugh, but she had a feeling he was serious. "I think I'm a little big for that."
"No, you aren't."
"Take my hand and tell me if you see a tripping hazard."
"That's gonna be too slow."
He stepped closer.
"Let me carry you in front. Wrap around me. I can walk easily that way if you just tuck your face against my neck so I can see."
To JD, that seemed too intimate.
"Can we get a move on?" Carr sounded irritated. "Decide on something. I'd like to get this over with before someone else dies."
He made a good point. Mark, Peggy, and Brent needed help. There was still one of those things running around. She stepped closer to Lavo's. "Are you sure I'm not too heavy?" Carr snorted.
"He's not human, sweetheart. He could toss you about 20 feet without breaking a sweat or pulling a muscle. Carrying you down a hill is nothing." "Enough,"
Lavo's grumbled.
"Don't scare her, Carr."
He reached out and touched her arm. She startled, and he pulled his hand away.
"I'm not going to hurt you, JD. I'm a man of honor."
Is he a man? Are werewolves human? At least the blood on him will be dried by now, I hope. But does it matter?
Nope.
She reached up and carefully placed her hands on his shoulders. They were wide and solidly packed with muscle. He was also like a furnace, putting off a lot of heat. She cleared her throat, nervous.
Okay.
He gripped her hips and lifted. She felt incredibly awkward as she spread her legs and her chest hit his. She did as he'd asked her to do, wrapping her thighs around his waist. He was so warm and firm. Big, too. He released her hip to wrap an arm around her middle and adjusted her a little higher. There was no denying his strength.
"Tuck your head,"
he whispered.
"I've got you."
She turned her head and tossed her hair so it wasn't in his face as she pressed closer, until her nose touched his warm throat. She hated that she noticed the soft traces of his cologne. It wasn't one she identified, but he smelled good. He shifted his other hand and braced his forearm under her ass. JD clenched her teeth, not protesting. He started to walk, and it rubbed their bodies together. She closed her eyes and hoped he could see as well as he'd implied. To fall and have him land on top of her would suck. He was a large man, and everything about him seemed hard. She didn't feel any flab on him, and she would know being this close.
"Can I take a picture of you with her?"
I doubt anyone will believe me when I tell them about this.
Carr laughed.
Shut up,
Lavos ordered.
Keep your phone in your pocket and don't let go of that asshole. You're no fun. Stop giving her a bad impression of us.
Lavos gave her a gentle squeeze around her middle.
We really are law enforcement. It's just that we joke around to handle the stress.
It's okay. She understood.
Good.
Rocks slid, the sound of them falling a bit scary. JD wrapped her arms tighter around his neck. She didn't want to choke him, but the sound of them smashing into other rocks far below frightened her. To die from falling would be a horrible way to go, but better than having her throat torn out by Mitch. She needed a distraction.
Why does your friend want to take a picture?
Carr answered first.
Lavos holding a human in his arms is priceless. I'd win so many bets,
he laughed.
He was always a little too understanding of his brother and Kira.
Who's Kira? She asked, curious. Lavos sighed.
Enough. Hold on. I need my arms.
He reached up for something and his entire body tensed. He jumped to JD's terror, and she felt as if they were swinging for a second before they fell. He landed with a jarring impact, but his arms wrapped tight around her so she wasn't torn away from him.
Are you okay?
What was that? She was afraid to look to see for herself.
A 5-foot drop. I had to jump out and grab a branch to avoid landing on a boulder below.
Never mind. She didn't want to know. A male shriek started, but it cut off abruptly when a heavy weight smashed into something next to them. JD gasped, lifting her head and opening her eyes. She couldn't see when she tried to make out what had been the cause. Lavos sighed again.
You had to throw him. Come on, Carr. I'm jumping down.
Something else landed next to them, and it sounded heavy.
I wasn't going to carry him in my arms.
Carr chuckled.
He's not cute. Get up, Fang Boy. Next time, try to land on your feet instead of your head. You son of a bitch.
Mitch whined.
That hurt.
Aw, Carr muttered.
What happened to the badass attitude I heard when you were threatening a woman? You're not so tough now when you're dealing with us, are you? Move. Don't squeeze so hard. You're gonna break my neck,
Mitch protested.
I don't trust you to be smart enough not to run, and I'm done chasing shitheads tonight,
Carr responded.
We're almost to her people.
JD twisted her head and peered toward the water. She saw the dark shape of the trailer. They were farther down the hill than she thought they should be. She looked up over Lavos's shoulder, seeing the shape of the hill. There was only one tree she could spot above. He lied to her. He had to have jumped more than 5 feet. It was more like 20. It gave her chills that anyone could do something like that so easily. It wasn't supposed to be possible, but they weren't human. Lavos walked, and she buried her face in his neck, easing her hold around his shoulders. She wanted to freak out, but she would do that later. The danger wasn't over, and she didn't have the luxury of being able to freak until she was back in her rental and on her way to the airport. Lavos admitted to being impressed that JD was dealing with everything so well. He'd expected absolute terror and crying from a human. He kept walking until they reached the back doors of the trailer, and he bent a little, relaxing his hold on her.
We're here,
he whispered.
You can get down now.
JD released his hips with her thighs and slid down him until she stood. Her arms were slower to let go. She backed away and turned, almost walking right into the back of the trailer. He reacted fast and hooked her around the waist to stop her.
Easy. It's right in front of you.
I can't see all that well.
I can.
He felt bad for her. It must be tough to be human. JD cleared her throat.
Mark? Peggy? Brent?
Her chin lifted to stare up at the top of the doors. She lifted one hand, waving it.
Can you see me? Will you please turn on the outside lights if you have them?
Floodlights lit up from the top of the trailer. Lavos closed his eyes, temporarily blinded. He let go of JD's waist and retreated a few steps, blinking to adjust to the brightness. Carr uttered a curse but said nothing more. Lavos glanced at him and saw he gripped Mitch by the back of his neck, keeping him far enough away from J.D. to prevent the soldier from reaching her. J.D. adjusted her raised arm to shield her eyes from the direct light.
"Thank you, I couldn't see anything. I know you're probably worried that I've been made into a vampire, but I'm not."
She turned, glancing at him. "They'll be afraid that happened to me." A soft click sounded, and a man's voice with an accent came out of a speaker from somewhere on the underside of the trailer.
"Who's with you?"
"The cavalry." She faced the trailer, looking up again. "They saved me and captured the vampire. Is this tall, freaky guy one of the vampires that escaped from you a few days ago?"
"Yes. Where's your father?"
It was a woman who spoke. "Dead." J.D. pointed at Mitch. "That asshole turned him. I let my dad into the trailer, but he wasn't the man we knew. I was locked in the cage, but then these two showed up. This is Lavos and Carr. They're real vampire hunters."
That stunned Lavos. He couldn't believe she'd just said that. He schooled his features, though. It was obvious there were more cameras.
J.D. knew about them and the location of at least one since she stared up at something. He couldn't see past the lights to get a clear enough view of the top of the trailer.
"Did you say vampire hunters?"
It was the man with the southern accent.
J.D. nodded. "Yeah, they saved me."
She reached up and pulled her hair back, showing off her neck. "See? No bites. I'm still me. It's safe to come out. They won't let the vampires hurt you. You can open up."
"This is weird," Carr muttered. "We're not gonna do that," the man announced.
"Son of a bitch." J.D. lowered her arms. "Come on, Mark. Stop being such an asshole. What is it gonna take to get you to believe me? You're rescued. I'm half tempted to get in my rental and just leave your ass locked inside that container until you starve. Be thankful I like Peggy and Brent. I would never do that to them."
J.D. glanced at Lavos over her shoulder. "Can you think of a way we can prove to them we're not vampires?"
Lavos glanced at Carr. His friend looked as grim as he felt. Lavos bent and yanked up his pant leg, grabbed hold of the dagger strapped to his ankle, and straightened. His brother would have a fit if he ever found out what he was about to do in front of cameras. But he needed to get inside that reinforced box to destroy the evidence.
"Yes."
He shot another look at Carr.
"Hold him tight. He's about to get agitated."
He motioned for J.D. to move farther away from Mitch.
"You shot him a few times and he hasn't fed."
He looked up to the top of the trailer, wondering about the humans inside.
"Watch."
He cut his left palm, making sure they could see the exaggerated grimace on his face, since a human would probably burst into tears. He wasn't about to go that far, but it did hurt to draw a thin 3-inch line across his palm. He opened it, showing everyone the blood. Mitch sniffed, and his eyes widened. He hissed a second later, mouth open and fangs showing. He struggled in Carr's hold, frantic from the smell. The noises he made were animalistic and loud. His hunger had to be causing him agonizing pains.
"Switch your hold on him and give me his arm,"
Lavos ordered Carr. His friend jerked Mitch back and got him in a chokehold, making sure his fangs weren't close enough to his skin to bite. Carr twisted his captive and exposed his left side. Lavos advanced and ripped Mitch's sleeve at his shoulder, shoving it down, then used the dagger to slice open a good 6-inch cut above his elbow. The soldier shrieked. It was probably more from hunger and frustration than actual pain. Lavos was glad he'd handcuffed the soldier or he would take any blood source, even cannibalize himself. It sometimes happened with soldiers when they were starved. They'd bite themselves to get blood. He also wanted the humans to have a clear view.
"Watch how fast he heals."
The cut sealed within seconds. Lavos looked up, trying to gauge where the camera was.
"See?"
He backed up, showing his injured palm again. It had stopped bleeding, but the cut remained. Nothing could heal as fast as a soldier unless fresh blood and feeding were involved.
"I'm not what he is. Carr isn't either. We hunt these things down and stop them. This one is going to lead us to his master so we can take him out.
Lavos put away his dagger. Happy, Mark? Legend and paranormal hunters meet actual vampire hunters. J.D. glared up at the top of the trailer. Open the damn door. Otherwise, I swear I'm going to have them escort me to my rental and I'll just leave you here. There's one more still on the loose. The blonde guy hasn't been caught. How long can you stay in there without starving or going crazy? Long seconds ticked by, and it irritated Lavos. He didn't have time for bullshit. They did need to find the blonde and take him out. They also needed to hunt down the master. He didn't want to babysit the soldier during the day and have to find a safe place to store him so he didn't burn to death. His brother would be worried if they didn't make contact soon. Lorne would send reinforcements. The last thing he wanted at that moment was more of his clan to show up. He liked J.D., but he couldn't guarantee others would be willing to trust her word that she'd never say anything about what she'd seen. And her mind was too strong to wipe. A bolt slid from inside, then another. Metal scraped as one side of the door opened an inch. He backed up and jerked his head at Carr to do the same with the soldier. J.D. wasn't so cautious. She advanced and curled her fingers around the edge of the door, pulling it back. J.D. paused. Are you shitting me? Then she shoved the door wide open so he could see inside. Two men and one woman stood inside holding 12-inch crosses in front of them. Two were made of wood, and one looked metal. J.D. brushed her hands on her pants and gripped her hips. Wow. I would have packed crossbows and arrows if I'd been you. My eyes aren't burning, guys. I told you, I'm not a vampire. Mitch tried to twist out of Carr's hold and avoid looking inside the container. Lavos wanted to roll his eyes. The idiot probably thought crosses would work on him. They wouldn't, nor would they work on pure-blooded vampires. He kept his mouth shut. J.D. released her hips and started to climb inside the trailer. He was tempted to stop her, but didn't want to frighten the humans. He spotted a few guns on a desk near one of the men. They could shoot J.D. if they panicked. I'm going to walk right up to you and touch that thing, J.D. announced. So you're sure?
Let me see your teeth, the man with the accent demanded.
J.D. straightened and opened her mouth wide. She stuck out her tongue after she'd given him a few seconds to see that she didn't have fangs. You're such a dipshit, Mark. No fangs. She approached them, her hands out to her sides. She paused in front of him and slowly lifted her arm. She pushed a fingertip against the wood. See? Not a vampire. I know I don't get a lot of sunbathing in with my night job, but do I look pasty-ass white like the freak outside? The woman was the first to lower her cross. She burst into tears and grabbed J.D., hugging her.
We were so worried. We heard the gunfire and the tablet went dead. We thought they'd killed you.
J.D. hugged her back. It's okay, Peggy. We're safe now. These guys are going to take us to the truck I rented, and I'll drive us out of here. She untangled herself from the woman and backed up, glaring at the man with the accent. You can lower the cross. You look ridiculous. She glanced at the other man. It's okay, Brent. These guys killed a few vampires but are just holding on to that one until they find the master.
Where's your dad? The older woman asked.
He's in a better place now. J.D. answered.
I need to gather our hard drives and samples.
Mark lowered the cross. You do that. J.D. glanced at Lavos and winked. He managed to hide his surprise. She was smart. The man named Mark began to collect things off a desk. That would save Lavos time. The second man, Brent, dropped the cross on the floor. He turned, helping the other one gather their evidence.
I'm going to take the important data and then lock up the trailer. We'll have to come back in the morning.
Mark seemed to be the one in charge.
We'll document everything. We'll bring in Richard Smith and his team. They'll help salvage as much as possible.
The guy suddenly turned, staring at Carr.
Could we keep that one? I mean, as evidence? To turn over a live vampire would prove to everyone they exist.
Carr looked at Lavos. Lavos took control of the situation. He wasn't sure how to respond either. No way would they ever allow that to happen, but he needed the humans to relax.
Maybe. We might be able to work out a deal. Vampire hunting can be expensive.
Humans liked greed. They understood it. Mark smiled.
J.D. will pay.
Excuse me? J.D. gasped. Mark glared at her.
Your father is dead and he funded our trips. That means you're in control of the money now. I know he has you all on his accounts and listed as half owner of everything. Pay them whatever they want for that vampire. Do you know how important this is?
Yes. J.D. didn't look happy. I do. She glanced at Lavos. But he needs to talk to you first. You know, about the other vampire on the loose and what happened here? That was his cue.
I'll talk to them one at a time,
he hinted,
so I can get each of their stories. It'll help us track the missing one if we get as many details as possible.
Good plan, J.D. nodded. Mitch struggled in Carr's hold.
We already broke free from them once. I'll do it again.
Shut up, Carr muttered. You're an idiot. Lavos hid a smile. He shouldn't be so amused with the situation, but he couldn't help it. He watched as the human team collected their belongings. J.D. walked to the back of the trailer, and he realized she planned to climb down. He advanced and reached up, holding her gaze.
Let me.
She only hesitated for a second before she leaned over, placing her hands on his shoulders. He gripped her hips, easily lifting her and placing her on her feet. She didn't seem afraid of him anymore. They're all yours, she whispered. Please don't hurt them. I'm trusting you. She backed away, letting him go. He waited until the older woman tried to leave the trailer. It stood a good 4 feet from the ground. He stepped forward, offering to help her out too. She smiled at him and allowed it.
You're a strong one.
She blushed a little when he set her on her feet after lifting her down.
I have 100 questions to ask you.
Okay.
Is it like a family business, or did something happen to make you hunt vampires?
He hesitated.
Family business.
She looked excited.
How many generations?
A few.
You're like the books, she grinned. I want to interview you at length. Can we do that?
Sure, he lied. Do you mind moving so I'm not staring at those bright lights? They're giving me a headache after tracking vampires in the dark for the past few hours.
Sure.
She stepped around so she faced the trailer instead of him. He turned with her, putting his back to the two humans still moving around inside it. He held her gaze, allowing his power to surge. Her eyes widened in surprise as she watched the blue of his eyes begin to glow.
Shush,
he murmured.
Relax.
He was going to have to kill her if he couldn't get inside her mind. Her features slackened and she didn't make a sound.
You're safe,
he assured her.
Repeat that and speak in a very soft tone.
I'm safe, she whispered.
Someone stepped closer and he inhaled J.D.'s scent. She surprised him when she spoke.
Is it working on her?
Yes.
Good. I'll watch them and give a warning when they're ready to leave.
She kept close to him, making it appear the three of them were having a discussion. He appreciated it. He needed to focus on Peggy. Carr had his hands full with the soldier.
You came here to look for vampires, right?
Yes.
Peggy suddenly looked frightened.
There were 4 of them.
He executed a little more force and deepened his voice.
No, there weren't. You arrived here and didn't find anything.
He held his breath, waiting to see how she'd respond. The fear vanished.
We didn't.
You saw a few bears. A storm came and you parked too close to the river. That's the most frightening thing that happened. The water started to rise and you couldn't get your vehicles out in time.
He paused, needing to build a memory for her that would make sense. He'd take care of the trailer and any other evidence in the area. J.D. put her hand on his arm. There's a tow car and a rig around here that pulled the trailer, plus the two smaller RVs and the larger one that belonged to my dad. They were all messed with. Maybe you could say she caught a cold and slept a lot. It's best if she thinks she was out of it most of the time from a high fever. He nodded, letting her know he heard what she'd said. Not only did J.D. help him do his job, but she gave him helpful suggestions about what to put in the human's mind. His admiration for her grew. Chapter 6. It amazed J.D. how easily Lavos manipulated Peggy. His eyes glowed that neon blue, and Peggy ate up everything he said as if it were gospel. It left her feeling a little uneasy, but it would save the team's lives. She could live with Lavos messing with their memories. So far, he'd kept his word. He said he'd wipe their minds, and that's what he was doing. He wouldn't waste his time if he planned to just kill them after all. She gave him more details to help him fill in any gaps she could think of. He was good, coming up with a story to explain how they'd lost their vehicles and the trailer. She cringed a little on the inside. All that money her father had spent would end up at the bottom of the river. She watched Mark and Brent making extra copies of the videos they must have taken. They put the USB flash drives into their pockets. She'd have to tell Lavos about that. Her father would be disappointed in her for not helping to protect his research, but it had gotten him killed. She didn't want to see that happen to the rest of his team. "Can you do me a favor?" She leaned closer to Lavos. He paused in talking to Peggy.
"What?"
"Can you tell her this fiasco was an eye-opener and she's ready to retire? I don't want them chasing after anything again. She's talked about buying a cabin in Tennessee forever. Brent is her brother. He wouldn't do this without her. There's no changing Mark, since this is who he is, but Peggy loves him. Tell her she's tired of this bullshit. He doesn't deserve her anyway. He hasn't married her in 25 years. Can you implant the idea that she's fed up enough to leave him finally?"
"You're sure about that?"
He turned his head to peer at her. His eyes were gorgeous. "Yes, please. She's like a mother to me. I hate how Mark treats her. She does deserve better. She needs to find a man who cares about her instead of what he can get her to do for him." He looked away, staring at Peggy again. She felt relief as he whispered, repeating what she'd said almost word for word. J.D. gave him a little space and approached the trailer to keep the guys distracted. One glance at Carr assured her that he still had a handle on Mitch. She hated that freaky bastard and felt no sympathy for him. "Make sure you get everything," J.D. called out. "You're representing my dad. This was his big find."
"I know,"
Mark sounded annoyed.
"It's our find, though. We share the credit."
She rolled her eyes. "Spare me."
"We're going to have to hire tow trucks to locate and pull out our vehicles."
Mark didn't even bother to look at her as he checked the sample case he opened.
"And we have to buy a new rig to pull this trailer. I want your father's motorhome. You sure won't use it."
J.D. grit her teeth.
"Do you want my bone marrow too, Mark? Maybe a kidney?"
He paused and lifted his head to direct an annoyed look at her.
"You know how important this was to your father. Just because he's dead doesn't mean this is over. You also know I can't afford to buy you out. Most of the equipment is owned by your dad."
"Got it. You could at least try to kiss my ass a little when you want something instead of barking out demands." His anger took over.
"I told your dad to put me on his accounts and on the titles instead of you so this wouldn't happen."
"Always the asshole, aren't you?" Brent, the peacemaker, got involved.
"He's just upset. It's been a traumatic few days. He doesn't mean to sound so cold, J.D. You know we loved Vic. We're all grieving."
She believed that. Her father's team was closer to him than she had ever been. It left her feeling a little bitter, but she'd swallowed that pill a long time ago, when she'd chosen to live with her grandmother. Her dad could have retired then and stayed with her. He'd kissed her goodbye instead and hit the road. It was little comfort that he'd made sure she was taken care of in case he died by ensuring she had access to his money and putting her name as co-owner on anything he bought. Lavos approached her side, and she looked at him. He gave a slight nod of his head, then climbed up inside the trailer.
I need your attention.
J.D. backed up and turned around. Peggy stood motionless a few feet away, her eyes closed. Carr came closer, keeping Mitch in a chokehold.
She's fine. He put her in a kind of sleep trance while he talks to the other two. He'll bring her out of it when he's done. She'll only respond to his voice until then. She can't hear us.
She hoped Lavos could do his mind magic on the guys and face the trailer to see how it went. Lavos stood motionless, talking to Brent.
Is it working?
Carr hesitated.
It seems to be. Good. Lavos is strong. I'm not good with that shit. I don't have the experience to mess with planting information into minds, but he deals with humans more often.
She was interested. He does?
I was never allowed to go on missions far from home, but he has. We test our powers when given the chance. You never know when it's going to come in handy.
A lot of bad scenarios played through her mind. So you can have sex with women and then make them forget? Carr crinkled his nose.
Hell no. Why would we want to do that?
Easy sex. You're a man.
He
paused, looking uncertain. A werewolf, she supplied.
We don't have sex with humans. It's frowned upon. We stick to our own kind, and they're immune to mind control.
Why? Can you accidentally transmit what you are to others? He shook his head.
No, it's just that...
He hesitated again, glancing down her body.
What? Will you stop doing that? Spit it out.
You're too damn fragile.
He held her gaze and winked.
I'd break you.
It was her turn to study him.
We're stronger than we look, and we'd have to hide what we are. Laws, remember?
He shrugged.
That's the truth. We don't mess with humans or hang around them unless we have to. Our contact is very limited.
So you just live with other werewolves in your pack? He moved his arm from around Mitch's throat and grabbed the top of his shirt, forcing the jerk to his knees. He gripped the back of his neck.
Try to move, and I'll break it. Got it? I'm tired of smelling you.
He gave his attention back to J.D.
Something like that. Are you going to screw us over and tell someone what went down here?
No, she meant it. I'm going back home and forgetting everything. I'll never have my face plastered on the cover of some crazy magazine, right next to the guy who swears he is a three-headed love child with an alien chick. He chuckled. Who's Kira? His amusement faded.
Forget that name. You heard Lavos. He didn't want me to say anything else.
I take it she's human, and you said she was with his brother. He glanced at Lavos, then her.
Look, I like you, so I'll share this much. Just don't tell him I said anything. Kira's father is one of us, but he mated a human. She was born mostly human, without many traits. It made her life a living hell, dwelling with our kind, because weakness is looked down upon in our culture. Is that enough info to curb your curiosity?
Not by a long shot. She held her questions, though. So it was possible for werewolves and humans to have kids, just not popular or sanctioned by others of their kind. That meant they were sexually compatible. She stared at Lavos. He was one hot guy. Dangerous, too, and totally not someone to get involved with, she reminded herself. J.D. shivered. It was growing colder. How many hours until the sun comes up?
Not long enough,
Carr muttered.
Summer means the sun isn't down as long as you'd be used to, living in the lower states. We still have to deal with this mess, get you and them on your way, and then track down the blonde soldier. We also have to get details from this one about the vampire who made him. That's one bastard who needs to be stopped.
Yeah, what went down here? Does this happen often?
Never. This is a first. Vampires usually avoid us at all costs. We didn't even know soldiers could make other ones. Apparently, they can. That's disturbing as hell.
She glanced down at Mitch. He seemed paler and a little lethargic. He's not looking so hot.
He smells worse. He's been hurt a lot and he's hungry. The longer they go without blood, the crazier they get.
He seems tame at the moment.
That's because he knows I'll snap his neck. He'll heal, but without a fresh source of blood, it's weakening him every time. I can smell the rot taking hold.
Rot?
His body is feeding off itself, and he can't heal fast enough to compensate. His eyes and skin show what he is. His internal organs will look worse. He was made about 9 days ago, from what we can figure, by a vampire who'd been part of a nest we took out. And soldiers don't last long without a master vampire feeding them just enough of their blood to keep them from decaying from the inside out. This one is on his own. He's been feeding off humans, but still, it's not enough.
So he'd die on his own eventually.
Worse. They can last months that way, but it isn't pretty. The mind is gone, but the body isn't. They go after anything living and are totally driven by bloodlust. We call them ghouls at that point. Some human probably saw one once and wrote a zombie story about them. Their skin rots off, but they continue to move around. They do get sluggish and slow when they hit that point. It's horrific. Eventually, they're so weak and messed up that they usually forget to find shelter before the sun rises. It roasts them. They don't usually turn others, though, like in your movies. They take blood, not give it. But this one figured out how to make more of them. That's bad.
She'd never watch another zombie movie again without thinking about Mitch and the others. Fantastic.
Carr nodded. Exactly.
I'm glad I don't have your job if you get to track them down.
Lavos jumped down from the trailer, startling J.D. She looked at him.
I put them in a trance until we get them out of here. I'm sorry, but I told them your father tried to save his RV and was washed away down the river. It will explain why they don't have a body.
I can't bury him, can I? He shook his head.
No. Sorry. We'll have to dispose of his body at first light by exposing him to the sun. He was newly made, so there are remains until then.
That hurt. I understand. Lavo stepped closer, getting in her personal space. His expression softened.
His body will turn to ash in the sun, as if he were cremated. I'm so damn sorry about this, J.D. You're taking it well.
It still seems a bit unreal, she confessed. I'll let it all sink in later, and then I probably won't be so okay. I foresee heavy drinking in my near future. Don't worry, I'll do it when I'm alone. I won't tell anyone what happened here.
You deserve to get drunk. I told them that you came and found them. We'll return you to the truck and get you on your way.
He reached out, and his hand hovered near her shoulder. He didn't touch her, though. He dropped his hand away in the end.
Are you going to keep your word?
I will. She held his gaze. Check their pockets. He turned away, returning to the trailer. J.D. blinked back tears. It was almost over, and she just had to hold on a little longer. Then she could fall apart. Her father was dead, but she and the others were going to live. That was the important part.
J.D.,
she turned her head, staring at Carr. Yeah?
He won't be the one who comes after you if you betray us. Creatures from your worst nightmares will pin a target on your back. You'll have vamps, werewolves, and everything else you never want to meet determined to kill you. You'll also get him in deep shit. He's breaking the rules by letting you go with your memory intact. It could mean Lavo's being severely punished. He's risking a lot. Do you understand?
I do. Carr studied her. I do, she repeated. I'm never going to tell anyone what happened here. I heard Lavo's. My dad called me, and I came to visit. I found those three stranded, and the river killed my dad. That story won't ever change.
Good.
J.D. believed Carr and what he said would happen if she ever opened her mouth. She wasn't that stupid. A single night in close contact with vampires had assured her she never wanted a repeat experience. Once had been more than enough. It would give her plenty of nightmares. Lavos knew Carr worried about whether they could trust J.D. He silently admitted his own doubts about depending on a human to keep silent. Kira had been raised with his clan and was trustworthy. JD was an unknown, but he thought highly of her spunk. He was almost sorry to say goodbye. He really did like her. The truck started when he turned the key after reconnecting the battery, and he climbed out of the cab to stand beside JD.
It still works.
At least that went our way. I can't believe those bastards disabled it. Mitch probably did it while my dad was trying to talk his way inside the RV.
It will teach me to always lock the doors in the future, even if I'm in the middle of nowhere.
Drive down this road until you hit the highway. Don't stop for anything. There's a soldier still out there. I doubt he went that way since I found his trail leading toward town. You hit the highway and go right. That will take you in the opposite direction.
I don't plan to stop until I'm out of Alaska unless I need gas. I was going to fly home, but you said you need time to clean up this mess. Driving will waste some days. I can't wait to return to Washington.
That's where you live?
Yeah. Carr sighed.
I'm getting tired of holding this one. Can we get them on the road? I bet Garson is done with his task and we could use him here. We also have to find the other soldier. I know.
Lavos didn't look away from JD.
Okay. Drive safe and don't stop until you at least hit a larger town. Don't talk to strangers.
She smiled. Especially pale ones. He grinned back.
Yes.
She licked her lips and he watched her pink little tongue. The urge to kiss her struck, surprising him. He stiffened, every muscle tensing. It was probably because he'd carried her and her scent had rubbed off on him. It had been a while since he'd been that close to a woman. The hunt always made him a little horny, too. He resisted his instinct to reach out and pull her closer. It was a bad idea.
Thank you. She glanced at the three still humans. Too bad I don't have your power. I wish I could keep them like that for the rest of the trip. They're going to argue and bitch.
Did you leave them their wallets? We have to cross into Canada and then back into the U.S. The last thing I want is to be held up at the borders. An unplanned road trip with them is going to be bad enough to deal with.
Yes.
You cleaned out their pockets?
I asked them to hand over all evidence. They did.
Okay. She surprised him when she suddenly leaned forward and wrapped her arms around his waist. The hug was unexpected and fast. She released him and backed up before he could react.
Good luck, and be careful.
Did you implant them with the suggestion to wait until we were back in the U.S. before they filed any reports?
I did. They're in a sense of shock from your father's death. The authorities should believe that.
All the bases are covered. She sighed. Okay, I'm out of here.
Thank you.
She turned away, climbing into the front of the truck. Can you ask Peggy to sit with me in the cab and have the guys climb in the back? I don't want to hear them rambling on or bitching about how cramped four of us are in a bench seat. Mark annoys the hell out of me. He nodded.
Yes.
Thanks. She closed the door and he turned away, walking over to the waiting humans. He told the men to climb into the back, that they wanted to sit there. The woman meekly entered the passenger side of the truck. Lavos backed up and watched JD drive away. Carr shoved the soldier forward and paused at his side.
I hope that wasn't a mistake. You know how risky it was to let JD live. Where is your compassion? Not in my pants.
He growled, narrowing his eyes at Carr.
What the hell does that mean? Give me a break. He wanted to jump on JD. He kept sniffing her and staring at her ass. When's the last time you got laid, if you were interested in that? I admit she was sexy, but you know better. You were thinking with the head below your belt instead of the one above your shoulders. She couldn't be white, Lavos. That makes her dangerous. She wasn't a typical human. You hope. She was pretty cool, and I was impressed by how she handled herself, but she could turn on us. She won't. I hope not. Our asses would be in deep shit. Nobody has to know what happened here. I'm sure as hell not gonna rat you out. I'd be in trouble, too. I let it go down. Thanks. You should have at least nailed her. I would have. Shut up.
Lavos turned away, sniffing.
I have a soldier to track. JD said he was here. You interrogate that one and get every detail about his maker that you can. I'm tired of dragging him around. You're not the one with the cramp in his hand from holding on to him. Next time, I'm bringing a leash. What happened to just killing them outright? This one has gone into some kind of catatonic state. It's disturbing. Show a little blood and that should snap him out of it to get answers. We need to find the one who did this and make sure it doesn't happen again. I know. That's why I haven't killed Mitch here yet. Go track down the blonde soldier and I'll get the information we need. I'm hungry. Grab me something if you can. Live food? Anything. I miss dinner. I didn't think this was going to be an all-nighter. I want my handcuffs back.
Lavos handed over the key, then walked the perimeter.
We took out the two that went that way. This one headed back toward town. Go.
The faint smell of death helped him track the soldier. He followed it toward the town, but then the scent indicated it had changed direction. A bad feeling sank in. It headed toward the highway.
Shit.
Lavos snapped his head up and began to run. What if the soldier decided to attack any cars on the highway? They seemed stupid, but it was possible one of them wasn't. He and his pals had cleared out the small town of any life. His only blood options had been locked up where he couldn't get at them. That meant JD might be headed right into a trap. He took a shortcut toward the highway. One soldier could easily attack and kill four humans. They were fast enough to catch a vehicle if it was traveling slower over old roads before it hit the highway. The fact that she was driving a truck made it worse. The soldier could jump into the back and then go through the glass to take out the driver. It was tempting to shift, but he wanted to keep his clothes on. He came across the winding dirt road and entered the woods again to take a direct path to the highway. He didn't see or hear any signs of the soldier or the truck. He heard a crash. It was a loud, echoing crack, as if something had hit a tree hard enough to split a trunk. A horn sounded next.
JD!
He ran faster, tearing at his shirt to get it out of the way. He didn't care if she saw what he really was, as long as she was alive by the time he reached her. He'd tear the soldier apart if he hurt her. He opened his mouth, sending out a war cry. It might scare the soldier. Garson and Carr might also hear him and come to his aid, but he doubted it. Garson was too far away, and Carr had his hands full with Mitch.
I'm coming, JD.
Chapter 7. JD gripped the wheel with both hands. The twisting dirt path someone had dubbed a road needed major repairs. She had to drive slow to prevent jostling the passengers in the back, easing over a big pothole. The highway was just up ahead. She glanced at Peggy. She worried about her state of mind. She hadn't talked at all since she'd climbed into the cab.
How are you holding up?
I'm hanging in there. I'm so sorry about your dad, honey, Peggy sniffed. He tried to hook up the rig to the trailer to save it, but the water rose too fast.
It's okay.
It was a better story than the truth. She wished she could forget seeing Victor after his attack. Her dad hadn't stepped inside the RV. It had been a stranger with his face and voice.
It's all gone.
JD regretted trying to get Peggy to talk. It's going to be fine.
No, everything is over. We should have stopped investigating this stuff years ago. I'm just so sorry. It shouldn't have ended this way. I'm going to buy that place in Tennessee and try my hand at gardening.
That's good.
I don't think Mark is going to give it up. I've been thinking a lot about our relationship lately. I need a change.
Lavos is good. She had to give him credit.
Do you think it's just the grief talking? I mean, we've been together for so long, but I'm just not happy.
You deserve better. It wasn't the first time she'd said those words to the woman. Mark is a tool.
He kind of is, isn't he? I can't believe he still plans to continue without Vic. It just isn't right.
That's Mark.
You should retire and plant a big garden.
That's what I think, too.
Brent should go with you.
I'm sure he will.
He's as heartbroken as I am over the loss of Vic.
J.D. sped up when the road finally straightened out, spotting a sign warning of upcoming cross traffic. She blew out a relieved breath. They'd hit the highway soon and get the hell out of Dodge. Or Weirdville. She forgot the small town's name, but it might as well have been that. They have werewolves.
Do you think the guys are too cold back there? You should have rented an extended cab, J.D. I don't like that the men are in the back. It's kind of dangerous, and I'm not even sure if that's legal.
I didn't exactly foresee all of you needing a ride when I chose this. Dad said I should get something that would be okay off-road. This is what they had. As for having the guys in the back, this is an emergency. I'm sure Mark can rent a car and drive himself home if he doesn't like the truck bed.
You and Brent can ride with me all the way back to Washington. We'll get you a nice flight home to California. Then you can go online to hunt for the cabin you always dreamed of.
I really want to do that.
It's important.
Good. Something ran into the road ahead of her. The headlights revealed the shape of a man with dark clothes and blonde hair. He was directly in her path. J.D. gasped, and her first instinct was to hit the brakes. She recognized him, though, as he turned to look at the approaching truck. It was the missing vampire soldier. She stomped on the gas instead. Peggy yelled, "Stop! It's a man!" J.D. could see him and planned to run him down. 3,000 pounds of metal slamming into him would at least hurt him enough for them to get away. Peggy reached across the cab and grabbed the wheel. J.D. hadn't expected that. It happened fast. She had her foot all the way down on the gas, barreling at the monster, trying to stop them. Peggy yanked hard, and the wheels hit another pothole. The truck rocketed off the road to the right, and the trees seemed to just suddenly appear in the headlights. They hit it hard. Something smashed into JD's face. It threw her back, and she slammed against the seat. The horn blared. It cut off fast, and JD opened her eyes, seeing the airbag deflating that had exploded from the center of the steering column. The headlights were still on, despite the engine being dead. One of the lights pointed up from the hood, crushed at an angle against the tree. Something was on the hood, and it moved. Mark groaned, shifting his legs. J.D. was horrified, realizing